the windows of the first floor rear. Doc and Lori were covering the two sides of the building. Ryan and Christy watched for a main frontal attack up the street. The street lights on Main Street had been switched off. The sweet smell of gasoline told them that the processing plant was still working full out, beyond the ruins of the old theme park. Carla was wearing her riding breeches and a dark maroon shirt. She carried an unidentifiable .32 caliber pistol with polished walnut grips in her belt. Baron Edgar had aged 10 years in the past 24 hours. His clothes were stained and creased, and he hardly seemed to know where he was.
"We had to come, Ryan. I know they planned to chill us both, but we had no choice. Where's John?"
"Out back. Keep away from the window. Let Edgar sit a spell on the bed by Rick. Things have changed some."
"They know we killed their pet Rattler."
"I heard. I also heard that they say they want you and the blonde girl as sacrifices. Josh'll want her for his own use first. And they said they'd let the rest of you go."
"That's what they say. We know what they mean."
"What are you going to do, Ryan?"
When it came down to it, there were only two choices. Stay and fight defensively, or go out into the night and fight offensively. The gateway wasn't all that far away, but with the Freezy in tow, the journey wouldn't be easy and it wouldn't be fast. But if Moat and his army were attacked, there was a chance that enough of them would be killed to allow the companions to break free, and to discourage pursuit. They had discussed it as soon as Ryan, Lori, and Doc had returned to the renter room.
"Saw them at the feeding, and when the Stickies made their move out in the desert. Take out the bikers and one or two others, and you got a pack of white-bellied runners. Most men in the Ville can stand behind a wall and pull a trigger. Put them against someone who knows what he's doing, and half will run scared."
It was true. Despite overwhelming numbers, Moat didn't have many fighters. The trader used to say that he'd rather have 5 men with firefight experience than 100 without.
"Ryan, what are you going to do now?"
"Do?"
"Yes. Can you explain your plan to me?"
"Lady, I don't have the time."
"But..."
"All right. We go out. Attack the bikers in the moats where they've set up. Hit anyone hard who gets in our way. Try and burn out the old theme park there, then move out. How's that sound?"
Carla looked across at the Baron. The old man was sitting hunched over, hands to his face.
"Can we come with you? I can use this blaster, and I'll look out for Edgar."
"Why take so much trouble over a defeated Baron? It happens all the time in the Deathlands. Barons come and go. You don't have to carry on being loyal to him now."
"He's my father. Is that reason enough?"
"Yeah, I guess so. Sorry, I didn't know."
"You still didn't say if we could come with you."
"Whatever happens, I figure it'll be better than staying around for the snakes."
10 minutes left of the hour, lover.
Christy sat cross-legged, her back against the wall of the room, resting. Her fiery hair was coiled tightly around her head, ready for the combat to come. She looked amazingly relaxed.
"Jack!"
"Yeah, Ryan?"
"Get JB up here."
"Sure."
"You decided what to do, lover?"
"Yeah, I decided 50 minutes ago. Been examining the plan since then, looking for holes, looking for anything better. Can't think of anything, so this'll be it."
When everyone had gathered in the room, he outlined his idea.
"Throw them off balance. We go down to the first floor and gather near the rear door. We wait and keep silent. They won't be totally sure if we've sneaked out or not. Then, as soon as they finally make a move to attack, we go out like the hounds of hell. Make for the draw that runs parallel to Main Street and outflank them. We try to fire the hero's base, then double back along the far side of the street and into the brush. And away. How's that?"
The armorer took off his fedora and scratched at the light brown stubble of hair.
"Can't see anything wrong with it. Experienced sick men, they'd see it coming and cut us apart. Not those no-hopers and blankers. Yeah, let's do it that way."
"Time's up!"
"Like we didn't fucking know."
For the next 28 minutes, nothing happened at all. Then, everything started to happen at once.
"Wag on the way."
"Can't hear an engine. You sure, lover?"
"Yep, being pushed. I can hear men's feet and the sound of wheels on sand. They're aiming to get in the front, under cover."
"Then it's time to move. Keep an eye on Edgar. Rick?"
"What? Oh, sorry, Ryan. I was miles away. What is it? Are the Black Hats coming?"
"Yeah, they're on the way. Take charge of the Baron, will you? Just keep him close, and keep your eyes open. They'll likely be kind of busy for the next few minutes."
His eye now accustomed to the darkness, Ryan was able to see the armored truck that Christy had picked up with her mutie hearing, the rectangular bulk blacker against the blackness. The pale faces behind it were heaving it ponderously forward. It was about 80 yards from the rooming house. Ryan could pick out men strung along the far side of Main Street, on roofs and peering from behind curtains.
This is it. Let's go.
He led the way, followed by Rick and Baron Edgar. Christie brought up the rear and quietly closed the bedroom door behind her. Jack was at the top of the stairs, and he turned cat-like, his red eyes seeming to glow with a smoldering fire.
Now?
You got it.
Jack took the lead down to the first floor. Doc and Lori waited there, one at the front of the long hallway, the other in the entrance to the kitchen, watching the rear of the house.
Are the redcoats coming?
Ryan didn't try to guess at the strange illusion.
Yeah, out front, hiding behind a big wag. Be at the front door in 4 or 5 minutes.
Can't we blast some and stop them down?
No. Best plan is to keep them guessing. If it's dark and quiet and there's no sign of any of us, they'll be uncertain. That means frightened. Nobody wants to be first up the ladder or number one through a closed door. It'll slow them.
They padded through the kitchen in single file, past the antique pots of copper and brass and the scrubbed tables. Jack looked at the rack of old knives with bone handles. Ryan caught the glance.
Leave them be, Jack.
Ryan eased the back door open a couple of inches and saw the stocky figure of JB standing close to Carla.
They're coming out front, pushing a wag ahead of them. Still don't figure they're likely to rush at us out of the darkness.
The armorer grinned, his teeth showing white in the night.
Guess not. I haven't heard a gnat fart out back. If they got it covered, then they're either very good or they're keeping themselves way, way off there.
During their conversation, Brian had been peering down Ruby's trim garden, past the neat rows of okra and beyond the outhouse to where the brush began, and where the steep-sided draw ran behind Main Street.
Do we go now?
What can you hear?
Christie shook her head.
Wind's blowing this way.
Jack, you got the best night seeing of any of us. You make anyone that way?
Ryan pointed toward the desert. Jack stood silent for a long moment.
Think there's one or two about 15 feet left of the outhouse, crouched behind a heap of cut wood.
Ryan strained his eye to try to see what the albino had spotted. But it was all a dark swimming blue to him.
My home! Stop it! They're not here! They're not here!
Let's go.
Ryan led the way with his pistol in his left hand and the 18-inch steel blade of the Panga in his right. Jack had been partly correct. Zombie had placed Mealy in charge of the rear guard. 6 men were sitting down, talking quietly, behind the cords of kindling. 2 more were crouched at the side, keeping watch for signs of movement in the building. They'd been warned to look out for anyone sneaking quietly out of the darkness, but they weren't prepared for the speed and violence with which Ryan and the others hit them. Mealy had time to set his finger under the trigger of his shotgun, but he didn't have time to pull it. The long cutting edge of the Panga opened his throat in a screaming red-lipped cry, nearly slicing his head from his broad shoulders. As the biker fell in a welter of blood, Ryan was already among the circle of men, his steel blade hissing and singing, jarring on bone, ripping through flesh. JB took out one of the men who had been watching the rooming house.
Take thy face hence!
Doc's sword stick flashed and stabbed the other sentry neatly through the center of the chest. As he withdrew the delicate rapier, the man slithered to the dirt, eyes wide in shock. Any cries of fear or pain were totally drowned by the bedlam from the front of the small hotel. By now, every window in the renter room had been smashed by lead.